Today, I'm excited that we're going to meet the woman who has been involved with multiple organizations in the Upper Cumberland through the years. We're happy to talk with good friend and community leader, Connie Albright. Welcome, Connie.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, George.
So I've told you, you're a good friend. You know this. My job is to listen, and that's going to be very, very difficult. The second thing we talked about, this show really is about the who. And people I think I know, and I'm hoping, this. Usually I come away from this meeting, this opportunity, and say, gee, I didn't know that. So you're a friend. You've been a great supporter of what the chamber and in the community, and we're just glad to have you here. And I told you off air, we're going to literally start like Billy Graham did. We're going to start at birth, and we want to know, who is Connie Albright? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? What's important to you? Where you been? And I'm going to start listening now, Connie, so welcome.
Thank you. George, I was born in Iola, Kansas.
Okay.
And I... my parents were hard workers, and they raised four children. Okay. I was the third of that. There were two boys and two girls.
Okay.
And went through grade school, junior high school, all in the same town.
That's great.
And made pretty good grades most of the time. Once in a while, you know, they'd go down just a little bit, but had a good time along with the studying. When I graduated from high school, I had 1 year of junior college.
Yeah, sure.
Later, I moved to Pittsburgh, Kansas, and that's where I met my husband, Joe.
Okay.
He was in the newspaper business, but he was a circulation manager at the time, and he hired me to work at the newspaper. And later, we married, had a son, Jay.
Jay.
And in 1972... we moved to Cleveland, Tennessee.
Yes.
And that was because of his job. He changed jobs. And after about 2.5 years, moved to Houston, Texas for a year.
Didn't know that. So there's one already, yes.
Then we came to Cookeville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And Joe came as the editor and publisher of the Herald Citizen. And at the time, the Cookeville's population was only like 15,000.
Wow.
And it has grown so much since then. And like they say, if you're not growing, you're dying.
That's exactly right.
And I think that for the most part, we have grown in the right direction. And when COVID came along, the community was so supportive of all the local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to respect them for that because they were very supportive.
Sure. So. Growing up, hobbies, interest, what looking back, what really drove you or that you enjoyed?
I always enjoyed reading. I usually had a book in my hand. As a young child, I would come back home from the library with a stack of books, and that continued for a long time. When I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, I started playing softball during the summertime.
Sure.
Enjoyed that. We had classes for tennis in school. I played tennis, volleyball, a lot of different sports activities. There were my high school years, well, starting in junior high and high school. During the summertime, I car hopped and worked to earn some extra money.
Sure.
And I played an alto saxophone in the band.
Didn't know that. There we go.
Not too many people do.
That is great, yeah.
But, yes, had a good childhood. I really did.
Yeah, it sounds like you really had a Walton's type.
Yes.
Which a lot of us did back then. But
that's so true.
Unfortunately, a lot of that's gone away. Jay, he came along and...
Yes.
Multi-talented. I know he's a obviously business, a lot of things, but golf, he's a really good golfer and other things too. So you had Jay and y'all had Jay, and then I believe when I moved to you, now he used to be in Covey. Jay had a bit, and we'll get into this in just a little while. Y'all had a newspaper business later on, and Jay was the editor of the Covington newspaper.
Yes, that was his second paper that he was the publisher of. And when Joe retired from the Herald Citizen and we left there, we started our own business, Albright Newspapers Incorporated, and we bought some weekly newspapers, and we had a centralized bookkeeping system here in Cookeville.
And that's where I met y'all.
Yes.
You had an office off of Neal, you know, mm-hmm. that park, business park, and that's where I met. And I think Jay had come back from Covington. Is that correct? In there?
Early on, after Jay got his MBA at Tennessee Tech,
mm-hmm.
He went to Lewisburg, North Carolina, to learn more of the advertising
side of
the newspaper.
Sure.
And that was one area that he hadn't really covered very much. And we had an opening come available in Russell Springs, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the publisher there had decided that he needed to move on. I think he was kind of burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we offered the position to Jay. He was young, but he had a great head on his shoulders, and he had grown up in the newspaper business.
And he was ready. I mean, he'd already, besides growing up, he'd already managed a paper. I mean, was managing that one, mm-hmm. then came here. To Covington, I'm sorry.
Well, yes, after when we sold Russell Springs, Kentucky, Jay came back to Cookeville for a while and was helping us with the other newspapers that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had purchased three newspapers over in West Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was Covington, and Jay went to be publisher of the Covington paper.
So y'all have really had a long-standing career in newspaper, community, right here in Tennessee.
Yes.
So that's good. We're going to keep moving, and we're going to keep talking. Anything else for your childhood or your early years that jumps out at you that you want to mention or—
Nothing that I can think of right now, but going back that far, it's
really— No, I was going to say, this is— So then y'all got started, you had a great career, and then you sold your business. Mm-hmm. Managed. How long was Joe the publisher here? Y'all were?
He was publisher for about 14 years.
Okay. And Jay grew up here for the most part. I mean,
Jay started grade school here. He started kindergarten.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, when we moved here.
So y'all are natives. I hope you're honorary natives now. I hope one day I'll get that distinction. I'm working on it.
It takes a long time.
It does. So now you, I know some of the audience knows this. Joe Albright was absolutely a communitarian, a leader, one of the top leaders in the chamber, in the community, and one of my good friends and one of my mentors.
Mm.
We used to meet, and you didn't always like what he was going to tell you, but he was a straight shooter.
Yes, he was.
And would tell you the truth. And sometimes, mm-hmm. most time, it was good for me. But so then you, of course, you've always been leadership, and then, Joe passed away it's been several years now, and I've lost track of time.
2017.
That doesn't sound
almost
right.
Almost 8 years, yes.
And then, because even before then, you were active.
Yes.
Let's lead on up. You're here, y'all are, you sold your business, you've got a new business of all these mm-hmm. newspapers. Talk about those days and also things you got involved in here in this community.
Well, one thing that a lot of people never understood, I don't think, was that Joe and I had worked together for a long time. And there's not a lot of husbands and wives that can do that.
No.
They like to spend their days apart from each other.
Yeah.
And
that's a gift.
We were so fortunate to be able to do that. And Joe always felt that we should give back to our communities. And I think that's why both of us have done so much in the community, because it's part of giving back. And Jay is following in his father's footsteps of doing the very same thing.
I know, because Joe's proud.
Yes.
Looking down and seeing Jay doing that. And what you've done, you've carried right on and even more.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. We got a couple of minutes left in this segment. We're going to come back and pick up there and talk about city council and mm-hmm. challenges and your volunteer work and mm-hmm. and then we'll just go right on from there. We've got a little over a minute left. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything during the that we've talked about so far?
Well, I think one of the things that when I came to Cookeville, one of the first things that I got introduced to was Cookeville Junior Women's Club.
Oh, okay,
and
sure.
That was a way to meet people in the community and other women my age.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, when you turn 39, you aged out. And so,
whoa,
so another,
that's pretty.
Yes, you could finish that year, and okay. then you had to just go your own way. A friend of mine and I decided that we wanted to have something to do afterwards, so we started another group.
I was going to say, you're really just getting, looking back, you're learning and you're getting started for your next adventure.
So we started the Federated League of Women, and that is still going now. I'm still a member of it. And
You're still rolling right on.
Yes, yes.
Well, we're off to a good start. We've got two more segments left. So Connie Albright, Local Matters, and we'll be back very, very soon. Connie Albright, we're off to a good start, Connie. Good friend, great communitarian leader, and just good people. So I'm glad to see you. It's been a while.
It has been.
Retirement does strange things to people like you.
Definitely.
It's hard to. Sometimes you don't see people. We talked about that off air. Let's pick up where we left off and maybe go back a little bit before that. We were talking, Cookeville was around 15,000 people, not many years ago. Well, some years ago, but so y'all came here, we were a much different community.
Yes, that was
great community, but
1976.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe we talk about what y'all found when you came here. Anything you want to talk about during that, and the opportunities we had, how we grew, what some of the issues were, how Joe and you worked during that era. So we'll talk about that.
I think the first challenge when we moved here was having another newspaper in competition.
I did not know that.
And that that was a major thing that was dealt with through the newspaper. Things were different then at that time because we had a couple of radio stations. We had another newspaper besides the Herald Citizen. And there was also a Shopper that was in town.
So it was highly competitive for a smaller community.
But we did not have the social media that they have today.
Oh, no.
There were fewer people fighting for that advertising dollar.
And fewer people, yes. Fewer people advertising because it's like there weren't as many businesses there.
Well, they advertised, but maybe the dollar amount was not there like they do today.
Well, that's true.
That makes a big difference there. But so I think those were the major challenges, is trying to fit in and try to do the best that you can, you know, to meet the needs of the people. And that's what a newspaper has to think about, the people, and be unbiased. Report the way that they can, and let the readers decide what they want to do. You shouldn't tell them what they have to do.
No.
So, but anyway, we did a lot of different things. Got involved with a lot of different organizations, community things, United Way, which was very popular at that time.
Yes.
I don't see so much about it right now, but I do think there are some communities that still work with that. We had, I chaired the original committee for that got the 911 on the ballot.
Okay.
And so that was voted in, and later I served on the 911 committee, the board, and that was one of my favorite boards.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I was on the Putnam County Library Board of Trustees for several years. Ann Lowe had been the board chair, and she had served there for like 38 years. And then she had asked me if I would want to into her position, and I did. And I think I was only there for 9 years, but I did not go
just
for 38.
Nine. You were a newbie who didn't stay very long.
I know, but it was very interesting. After I left, got off of that board, I went to, I started the Putnam County Library Friends. Okay. So we did that, and it is still going today. I served for 9 years as the membership chair, and it's they are doing a lot with it right now. It's a younger group that's chairing it and working with it, the officers, and they're doing an amazing job. And it's all about supporting your library.
Yeah. You know, as you were talking earlier, was it common to have two newspapers in a small community like us, or was there more than maybe it was a different era, but we were always such a good business town with location. We played a little larger probably than a lot of towns who have other towns, larger towns close by. But was that uncommon, or were there more than I think?
It wasn't uncommon, really. Okay. Livingston had two newspapers for a long time.
I see. I know. Okay.
And so I think that around this area, this Upper Cumberland area, there were several
newspapers.
Very
common.
Yes, because they depended more on the local news than they did with the bigger newspapers, you know, like the Knoxville News Sentinel and Nashville and those. It was just they wanted their news local.
You know, I miss that, and I know a lot of people in our generation probably tell you that you know, you really, it was a way we kept up with local, what was going on. And if you did that and watched Walter Cronkite or somebody at night on TV, that was the national, so you had a pretty decent, pretty good opportunity. But today, there's so much, I know it's changed. How has, you've seen it firsthand, how have you seen that all change as much as it had? What have we gained? What have we lost? Anything jump out at you? I know we've lost, but
yeah, I think we have lost a lot because of social media and how everything can go out there just right away. And I think that we have lost a lot of that community contact, that individual contact with people, and getting just the people involved in so many things, because and they're not going to, a lot of them will not take the local newspaper because they think they can get everything on, you know, by watching, going to Facebook or Instagram or whatever there. And it's one of those things that has changed immensely.
It's really hurt our sense, not just us, our sense of community.
Yes.
We're not as connected. Where's the height of ignorance, too, is to have an opinion on something you don't know anything about. And the newspaper served in that role. You were in the country, you were the neutral or the community. You know, you just called it like it was, and you educated people. Mm-hmm. You did research, not a whole lot of research, investigative, not a whole lot of that going on anymore, social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just changed the way we obviously think and live. And I think we've lost. I know we've gained some things, but we've lost so much.
Yes.
And what do you see as this is probably a future question. Maybe we'll hold that for the next segment.
Okay.
The future of newspapers, the future of media. You know, you've seen the whole thing. I've seen it as an outsider. I mean, as a layman. But we'll come back to that one in the next segment. But our newspaper is, you know, at least we're hanging on, aren't we? And there's no criticism of our paper.
No.
It's just the way things have evolved.
Yes, yes.
And but today, for instance, I think our newspapers, they really don't have they've got technology, but they don't have the staff to spend, not just here, to spend on things like investigative reporting and, I mean, they do, but they don't really have what y'all had.
I think a lot of it is because of the advertising. You know, the advertising is where your dollars come from that supports your newspaper. And circulation is basically, you know, will support the circulation side of it, but your advertising dollars are
that's
major. And whenever you have the social media out there that is quick to get advertising dollars from the people that you used to, you have to be very careful, you know, because you can't do the things that you used to do.
Well, we've seen that evolve, haven't we? That social media, I think at first, you know, was Facebook, and it was just a way to communicate, and then people found a way to monetize it.
Yes.
And today we're seeing these influencers, or what's the word? You know, social media has developed an industry of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And we're down to just a few seconds in this segment. We're going to come back and look in the crystal ball and talk about the future. But anything else you want to add as we go to break?
Just one thing that really meant a lot to me was in 2024, I received the Joe Albright Community Impact Award.
Wow.
And that was sponsored by WCTE. They created that when after Joe died.
Let's use that as a good segue to come back the next segment. George Alford, Connie Albright, back soon. Well, welcome back. We're here with Connie Albright, leader, regional leader, community leader, good friend. And Connie, when we left a moment ago, you were just talking about an award and things that you were involved in and a board that you recently were awarded or won.
Yes, it was last year. And WCTE created this award after Joe passed away because he had served a couple of terms on their board. And everybody respected him liked working with him. And so they created the WCTE Joe Albright Community Impact Award.
Okay.
And they have let Jay and I each year decide who the recipients would be. And we chose people that gave back to their community, did things for others or for the community out of the goodness of their heart and not because they got paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not their job. And so that has been – we are finding a lot of people that do that. And it's really surprising because some – you don't even hear about because they don't publicize that. You know, it's what they want to do for the community, and it's not because they want to be seen.
They're not promoting themselves.
No.
It's just what they do.
Yes. And so last year when we were supposed to be selecting this person, I was out of town. And whenever I came back, I said, well, do we need to do whatever we need to do? And Jay said, no, we kind of got that taken care of. And so I was really surprised whenever we had the dinner and my name was called.
Wow, so it was a surprise.
It was a very big surprise and just made me feel so good, you know. So anyway, like you had referred to earlier, Cookeville City Council, I served one term, 2010 to 2014, learned a lot about our community that I thought I knew a lot about.
Yes.
And you find out how government works, your local government. We had a lot of nice people there that mm-hmm. I really enjoyed getting to know better. It was a good experience, a very good experience. But I did find out that I was a better public servant than a politician.
It's a, you know, they always say everybody ought to run for office, be a sales clerk, meet the public. Mm-hmm. And you, most of us never, even myself as a chamber person, I was still had a limited group, but you've been able to see this community from a perspective that most people never get the opportunity mm-hmm. to. So I'd like to spend a little time with that about how any of the big things that you you learned a lot, major issues, what y'all were working on, what they're working on probably today, where, and then we'll talk about where we're going. Anything during that 4 years, because I remember you did a great job there.
Well, I found out that doing government things, it's a slow process.
It is.
Some things that people think that you ought to be able to take care of in a day's time, often it takes 2 or 3, 4 months.
That's right.
And you have to, a lot of these things go through different channels. They mm-hmm. have to be approved by different groups before they ever get to the city council. So it's not as easy as some people tend to think that it is. And you have to understand that sometimes what you think is the right thing to do, you're going to catch the devil because people don't like it, you know.
No, and it's getting more, we're more divisive, not as a country, mm-hmm. obviously, but people are not as, I don't know if people do their homework the way they used to. I may be wrong about that.
And people are quick to criticize and not to compliment.
That's right.
Those that, you know, it's good to hear from people, but you, and sometimes it will change your mind. While I was on the council, we had the vote for liquor by the drink. And so that was one thing that,
not
liquor by the
package,
drink. Package stores.
I had forgot about
yes,
that.
Yes, package stores. Joe went through the liquor by the drink part.
Some of the most emotional times is alcohol. Is
that's
the vote.
True.
Because regardless of one, it's probably not a family hasn't been adversely affected in some way by alcohol.
That's true.
So, it's an emotional issue.
We had it had passed. And we had to set the zoning. We had to set the zoning for it. Where did we want the package stores to be?
And also criteria for, like, how many, I think, or approval.
And who could have them? You know, did you do a lottery and let people, you know, was there some kind of a draw?
What's the process?
And so originally people thought that we were going to do the lottery, and we were hearing, oh, they already know who's going to get it and all that. And what we ultimately decided was, you know, whoever's the best managers will stay in business, so we're not going to limit the number.
Oh, okay. I'd forgot about that.
We were going to limit where they could be.
Let the free enterprise system run.
Yes, and that's what we did.
And this worked. I haven't – maybe there's things going on, but I haven't heard a lot of controversy since y'all have done that.
I haven't either.
So
the only controversy right at first was we had said – was – had to do with the rescue mission, and they did not want any of the package stores to be close to the mission, and I understand that.
Sure.
And
sure.
So we tried to keep that from happening there because some people were interested in putting a store out in that area.
Well, sure, that's a
and we just didn't feel like that was the thing to do.
You know, from a business, and I'm not. Not on either side of it, but with five laning of our road, the growth of that area, it would be a natural for a lot of different kinds of businesses that want to locate there.
Right.
And a liquor store would not be unusual. I mean, in other communities, I mean, I'm not saying Port Au Cam, but that would be a natural if somebody said, I'd like to be somewhere in that area. So I can see where that could happen.
Yeah. They just have to meet the zoning criteria and that'll be it.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, something else, too, we were talking about. To people who've never really served like you've served and even experienced, you always hear people say government needs to be run like a business. Mm-hmm. And it can be to a point, but government has rules, the regulations. You said it, why it takes longer to do things is because it's a totally different, not totally, but it needs to be run more like a business, but it's not a business.
Right.
But it is a business because it.
Yes.
I'm talking in circles, but it's more complicated than the average person thinks. Is that?
That's true. Yes.
Because you have to follow rules, regulations, there are deadline timetables and proper. I'm just rambling, but it's more complicated, more time-consuming.
Yes.
Because this was not a full-time position, but it was like a full-time position. Is that?
It could be, yes. You were open to phone calls. People would stop you on the street. If you're sat down to dinner in a restaurant, people would stop and tell you about a problem they were having. So there were a lot of, you know, yes, you had to have good communication skills with people and to deal with all the different things like that, but that's all part of the job.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. If you don't want to sign on, don't want to do all that. Let's look in the crystal ball. We talked about Colville, Putnam County. We're 50,000 people. You said probably now. We're talking offline.
Yeah.
I know we're moving to that officially. The designation opens up, and then of course the Upper Cumberland, the Tennessee Tech, the hospital, the business, the roads, and just. Look in the crystal ball. Where are we going, you think, Connie? And that's just wide open, so whatever you'd like to focus on.
It's really hard to tell. I do think that we need to catch up with our infrastructure, our roads, especially here in Cookeville, Putnam County, Nashville, I-40. We have a lot of traffic going on I-40 now. When we first moved here, that was... You know, there wasn't very much traffic at all.
Used to be 50,000 people, 50 to 60. I'm not sure what the number is now, but it's one of the most heavily traveled sections of interstate in this part of the country.
And we need to keep up with that, with the roads and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear quite as much about the school system now as what we did there for a while, but I don't have children in school. But Jay and Lindsay are going to have a baby in December, so
no.
I'm going to be
a
grandma.
Right.
Yes.
Hey, as someone who's just had their first grandchild, you always hear it's great. It's mm-hmm. better than that. So
good to know.
Congratulations. Tell Jay congratulations.
I will certainly do that.
That's great. So we're going to move. Obviously, you have growing pains when you mm-hmm. – and infrastructure never keeps up mm-hmm. with growth. And that's – you can grow too fast, but what is too fast? You know how that goes. We all have to be involved.
That's true.
Is that
yes.
get involved? Because we welcome involvement in this community.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I agree.
But it's there are things that are decisions that we're going to have to make. But this community works better than community together than I've ever seen. I've heard that and I've seen that personally.
City and county governments work very well together. Randy Porter, being
yes.
our county mayor, has done so many good things for this community.
Good person.
And for
great
Putnam
person.
County, he has represented us well. Our Lauren Wheaton, all of
Lauren.
The mayors that we have had have worked well with the county. I think that we've been very fortunate.
We have.
There was a time when that did not happen. It was almost like there was a feud going on. But
that's more normal. That happens yeah. more normally in other communities.
Yeah.
But we, at least since I've been here, which is over 20 years now, overall we've worked well together.
Yes, we
and
do.
We attract great people to run for office.
For the most part, yes,
especially
we do.
In the
yes.
city because of our form of government.
And I like that form of government.
I do too.
Because with the city manager, you have continuity there. And they can keep things going. And you don't have somebody coming in and everybody has to fear for their jobs because you
no,
have
and it changes.
Yeah.
And it's the old, and we've got a great staff overall.
We do, yes.
And I'm not talking about any person one way or the other, except we just have continuity and we do think mm-hmm. we try to do things right.
Yes. Yes.
And we're getting down near the close, Connie. Time flies when you're having fun, and I'm having
That's
fun.
True.
So anything else in the last minute you would like to mention? Or
one thing that I've been working on lately, I've been doing a lot of things with the church over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I have gotten involved with over the last 3 or 4 years has been a committee that's called the Adventures in Lifelong Learning.
Okay.
And what we do is that we have programs that we are offering classes on different things and it's open to the public. It's an outreach. Everybody is invited. It's like 4 weeks, 1 hour a week. It's $25 for the entire class. And we have 9 different classes this time.
God bless you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Keep doing it. Connie Albright for Local Matters. See you next time.